Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. Proverbs 31, verse 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. We pray just for your strength, God, to be upon every single one of us, and speak to us through your passage, and I give myself to you, and I pray that we'll be able to connect with you in our own prayer times as well. We thank you so much, God, for your love and for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Proverbs 31, the last chapter of Proverbs, and here it says it's a oracle of Lemuel's mother. So naturally, we want to ask, who is Lemuel? Lemuel is a mysterious figure. He's only mentioned here in this chapter, Proverbs 31, verse 1 and verse 4. So there's a few different theories as to who this figure might be. But some people say it's another name for Solomon, you know. Others say he's just an unknown ruler of some land. There's too much mystery to really guess who it is. But what we do know that he was a ruler of some sort, a king, right? It's King Lemuel, and his mother is speaking to him about, hey, what it means to be a king. What does it mean for you to be a king? You know, and she's giving him words of advice. So what we see from the passage is that he was a very special baby to the mother. You know, she says, you are a son of my vows, right? So I think he was dedicated as a child to the Lord. You know, there was a special calling and a purpose. You know, someone like Samson, you know, or Samuel, or John the Baptist kind of thing, where there was a special circumstance and God came and spoke to the mother, and it was a son of her vows. So there was anointing upon this child. There was a special calling, a special purpose for this child to be a king, to be a ruler for this people, for this land. And here I want to say that this passage applies to us because we're also called royalty. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says that we are all a royal priesthood, that we belong to God. God is the king of the universe, or he's the king of all kings, and we belong to his family, so we are royalty. We're called a royal priesthood, and so it's no matter your position in life, no matter your age or your gender or whatever, we're royalty. We carry God's presence and we carry God's authority. So in that sense, I think this passage applies to us. And so what I'm saying is you guys are all kings, you know, so it's a good thing. So receive it. I think when we read this passage, it's not just like, okay, it's for Lemuel, who was a king. But hey, we're all called to be, we're all God's children. We're called God's ambassadors here in this world. And if we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're representing the kingdom of God here. In a way, we're all kings who represent the King of Kings in this world. We carry His presence. We carry His authority. We're all a royal priesthood. And so kind of from there, that's where I want to go with this passage and kind of see how this applies to us. So I hope that makes sense. Number one, she says, hey, do not spend your strength on women. Do not spend your strength on women. Do not spend it on things that's going to ruin kings. So if Lemuel is Solomon, then this would make a lot of sense. You know, this is good advice that his mother gave him in advance, which he didn't follow, obviously. But we don't know. We don't know if it's Solomon. But she says, do not spend your strength on women. Do not spend your vigor on those who ruin kings. So how do women ruin kings? We've seen it in Solomon's case, also even in David's case in some way, that women in their lives really pulled them away from God, right? Foreigners, foreign women that worshiped foreign gods, and because their hearts gave way and gave in to these women, their hearts were pulled away, and their vision of God became unclear, muddied. Their vision of God and their vision for their life, their purpose became unclear because they're giving their heart away to something else that was desirable, you know, these women in their lives. So I was thinking, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for me? I mean, it's not like I'm going to give my heart away to different women. It's not our culture. You know, we don't give ourselves away to multiple women. So what does it mean for us? So here's my take on it. In terms of for our life, how does this apply to us? I think for us singles, the advice is, hey, you need to marry well. Whether you're a man or a woman, you know, you need to marry well. You need to find someone that's not going to ruin your life as a Christian. Don't give your strength to somebody that's going to ruin your Christian walk, that's going to ruin your purpose, your vision for your life. Because we're not going to be giving away to multiple women. But if you're going to give yourself to one woman, make sure that this woman is not someone that's going to ruin your life, that's going to ruin your calling as a king, as a royal priesthood. If you're married already to someone godly, that is amazing. What a privilege. And I think, obviously, this could also mean don't give yourself to adultery and lust and different things, pornography, because that's going to ruin us as well. But yeah, I think for us singles, it's hey, marry somebody well. Don't just give your heart away to someone because you're lonely, because you just want to be married, and there's someone out there, and that person is not going to help you walk your life as a Christian, to really live for the purposes of God, for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Don't give your heart away to someone that's going to ruin that. And also, I mean, check yourself, you know, as a spouse. Are you helping your spouse live out the purpose and the calling that God has given to that person, the God-given purpose? Are we doing that? If you're in a relationship, is our relationship doing that? I mean, am I... in my relationship with my spouse, are we helping each other live for the purposes of God, live as kings, you know, live as a representative of the kingdom of God, or are we just kind of doing our own thing and we're just with each other just for our own happiness, just for our own, you know, well-being? So that's kind of my take on it about marriage for us here in this passage. As it applies to us in this life. Number two, she says, don't give in to wine. Don't give in to beer. Don't give in to wine. Don't give in to alcohol. Not just because wine and alcohol is evil in and of itself, but the effects of it is negative. The effects of alcohol in your life is that it's going to make you lose judgment. It's going to make you, again, it's going to make your vision unclear in your life. And it's going to keep you from living a focused and purposeful life. You know, I've never been drunk, but I've seen drunk people. I live right above Lan Kwai Fong, right? So when I come to EMP in the morning, sometimes I see drunk people, and I go home at night, sometimes I'll see drunk people, and they definitely don't have their inhibition, or they've lost their inhibitions, right? And they're just kind of, they've lost good judgment. They're just, you know, they're strange. And yeah, giving yourself to alcohol will affect your clarity of mind and judgment. So how does that apply to us? I think it's the same thing. If you are prone to drinking, you know, wine, alcohol, beer, whatever it is that going to help you? You know, we're not saying, I'm not saying, that I don't think the scripture is saying that wine and alcohol is evil in and of itself. But if you keep giving yourself to that, and that's the, and look at the examine the effects of that in your life, you know. Is that keeping you from living a focused and purposeful life and carrying out your responsibilities? Because she says, if you give yourself to alcohol, I'm afraid that you're going to forget the decrees that you have made, and you're going to pervert the justice that is due these oppressed people. And so wine, alcohol, these things are bad if it leads us astray from our God-given responsibility. And because often it leads people astray from our God-given responsibility. And you know, if we take it a little further, I think this is not just speaking about wine, but there are other things in our lives, other distractions in our lives that we just give ourselves to that kind of pervert this God-given purpose. You know, we work, I mean, if we're kings, right, God has given us responsibility, God has given us calling that is so much greater than just kind of living our lives aimlessly, meaninglessly, just making money. And yet, we don't always think about that because there's so many distractions that we give ourselves to. You know, I'm just thinking about entertainment and, I don't know, TV, the internet. There's so many things that we give ourselves to, and I find that's true in my life, that really has no eternal significance. And yet we're just pursuing that. You know, we've been studying Ecclesiastes, and I've just been reading through that in my daily readings again. So I keep thinking about that, that we're pursuing empty pursuits in our lives so often. And we get so hyped about these empty pursuits that we give ourselves to. And so we lose our focus, lose our sight of what God has called us to do, you know, as kings, as representatives of his kingdom, as his sons and daughters. So not just wine, I mean, because the effects of wine is what Lemuel's mother is cautioning him against, but there's effects of these other distractions that we give ourselves to. It's the same thing, that we lose our focus, that our vision becomes blurred, and we think that life is about pursuing these other things and giving ourselves to these other things. So let's be careful with that. Number three, and she talks about our responsibility. His responsibility as a king is to speak up for justice. Fight for justice. Defend the powerless. Give yourself to help the needy. It's interesting. You know, I mean, there's so many other things a king should do, right? You know, lead the nation, go to battles, take over land, do whatever it could be. But the thing that she says to him in her advice is that, hey, you need to speak up for the needy, the broken, the poor, the defense, the powerless. I think she's reminding him, you're not royalty just so you can have all of this pleasure and enjoy this this thing. You've got a calling and a responsibility, right? I mean, famous line in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. You're a king. You have great power. You can enjoy great things, but with that comes great responsibility. So don't be selfish, number one, and don't be passive, number two. I think speak up, she says. Speak up, you know, don't just be passive. Don't let things slide. Don't give yourself to wine and let your vision become blurry so that you just let things pass. that is unjust and that is causing oppression, speak up against that. Do something. You've been given the power to do something, so do something about it. And so I think for us, I mean, this is the responsibility of a king as laid out in Proverbs 31. So for us too, can we speak out against injustice? Can we speak out for the powerless and give ourselves to help the needy? And, let us not be selfish. Let's not think that the blessings that God's given to us, the position and the financial blessing, all these things, spiritual blessings, material blessings, relational blessings, let's not think that that's just for us. You know, we keep saying we're blessed to be a blessing, right? But second, let's also not be passive, you know? I think it's so easy for us to be passive with these things, with these injustice that we see, because we don't really know what we can do. I struggle with that. So I just submit that question to you. What is it that you can do? For King Lemuel, as a king, you could do so much, just in a natural sense. You could do so much as a king to fight injustice, right? Because you've been given the power. So if you're in government and different positions of power, you can do so much. But how about us, you know? What can we do? What kind of power have we been given in our positions, in our walk in life? What is it that we can do to fight for justice and give ourselves to the needy? Going back to Pastor Sam's sermon on the city, right? He had a whole series on the city, and this last one on the vision that God has for the city. I think that's amazing. It's incredible, right? God's vision for the city where children are safe and elderly are honored and all these different things. What can we do to create that city in Hong Kong? I get excited about these things. I think our generation, we get excited about these things. We don't question so much, is this social gospel? Is this the pure gospel? You know, we don't argue about that so much. We just get excited about this because we feel like God has called us to fight against injustice. You know, so let's do it in some way and let's repent. I mean, I need to repent just for being so passive, you know. I really need to rethink and just be reminded that this is my responsibility as royalty, you know? It's not just for me. It's not just so we can live a happy life and fulfilled life, blessed life. That's good, but we also have a calling and a responsibility. So let's go before the Lord. I just read an article in the newspapers today on the way here about these partition homes and how the government is doing something about it, and they're trying to make some decisions by September, and it's very exciting that the city is doing something, and very exciting because our church has been going to these homes and visiting these homes. So it's not just statistic when we read it. It's like it's real people's lives that we're affecting and changing, and that as we read these things, maybe we can pray for these things to be done and see what is it that we can do. How can we get involved? So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for this word and this reminder, Father, that you are calling us to open our mouth for those that cannot open up their mouths, God. That you are calling us to open up our mouth for the rights of the unfortunate, to open up our mouth to judge righteously and to defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. And that's our responsibility and our calling as royalty in this life, God. You know, you've called us your sons and daughters representing the kingdom of God. Help us not to lose sight of that calling and that responsibility by giving ourselves to women or our spouse or marriage or wine and different entertainment and distractions. Help us not to be selfish, God. Help us not to be passive, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we really need your wisdom to know how we can get involved, how we can fulfill your vision for the city. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And I repent of my selfishness and passivity. And as we worship you, God, I pray that we'll be able to, connect with you. And I thank you that you are so good to us, that your love is so real. And I pray that we would be able to receive your love for us, God, so that we would have an abundance to be able to give to other people. So we come before you now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love and your grace. And yeah, God, we want to be changed by your majesty as we stand and as we come into your presence, God. And as you have shown grace to us, love to us, and compassion to us, I pray that we would be able to do the same in the world around us. So thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's turn to our prayer focus, our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer and chemo and waiting for the transplant. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's lift them up. And may faith be stirred up in our hearts as we pray. And as the Holy Spirit guides you to pray for certain people, do that. I think it'll be too much to go through the whole list. But let's pray with faith and let's pray fervently for them. So let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are going through an illness and also need salvation. Let's pray for God's love to be revealed to them. And let's pray for divine opportunities to share the gospel with them. So let's pray together for them. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various church members and church family members going through infirmities. Let's pray for healing and let's pray for God's grace upon them in this time. Let's pray together. Let's go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for those of us looking for a job. Let's pray for God's grace. Manson is not on the list anymore, so maybe there has been some good news. Yeah, praise God. So let's pray. Continue to pray for God's breakthrough for our friends and pray for encouragement and faith in this time. So let's lift them up together. Thank you. I also noticed Karen is not on the list, so praise God, Karen. And Tracy Wang is not on the list. Wow, amazing. Praise the Lord. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Pray for our mission focus, which is Korea, North Korea, South Korea, and Japan, and the Indonesia mission trip that's happening right now. So let's lift these things up. Let's pray for the nations and pray for Indonesia and the trip. So let's pray together. Oh, Pastor Eugene couldn't make it to the Indonesia trip. So Pastor Salamat is leading the trip. So let's just pray for extra grace upon Pastor Salamat too, that that he'll be able to just lead the team well, and that they'll have an amazing time. So let's pray for it together. Pray for our IP team and The Well and Cascade. IP retreat is happening this weekend. Pastor O is here to minister to them and speak to them. So let's really pray for them, that they'll have an awesome time. Pray for Cascade and Rachel, the leader, and The Well and Ricky, the leader. Let's just pray for anointing. Let's pray for God's protection over them, and just in their own personal lives, that they would just have so much favor and blessing from God. Pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming and barista. Let's just pray that there so much love would flow out of them, and so much joy would flow out of them, that they would really be a blessing to everybody that comes to church. So let's pray for these different ministries. Let's pray for our mother church, Hong Kong Korean Church. You know, that's, they began our English ministry, and we've kind of come out of this church. So let's just pray God's blessing over them, you know. Pray for the senior pastor, Pastor Choi. Pray for the leaders of that church, the elders of that church. Pray for growth, spiritual growth, and let's pray for the unity of the body in that church. And let's pray that that they will really fulfill their God-given purpose and calling here in this city. So let's lift up Hong Kong Korean Church together. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. You are so good to us. So we want to worship you and praise you. And I pray for our people here that wherever they go, that your presence will go with them. And help us, God, to always remember you today, to think of you today, and to bring joy to your heart today. And yeah, God, we bless you. Bless your name, God. We want to praise your name. And thank you for your love and your blessing over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.